Attention Austin musicians and music industry professionals. Are you having a difficult time navigating these tricky waters? Well, the Austin Music Foundation is here to help you. The Austin Music Foundation is a nonprofit dedicated to strengthening and connecting the local music community with innovative programs that empower musicians, music industry professionals, and music businesses within Austin's creative economy. With expert panels, consultations, mentoring, and mixers, AMF's programs provide the necessary tools and opportunities to help the Austin music industry succeed. Now look, ever since COVID took over last year, everything's moved online. The consultations are online. They're at no cost to the artist or to the music industry professional. Just go to austinmusicfoundation.org. That's austinmusicfoundation.org to find out how they can help you. Austin Music Foundation is here to help. Let's get down. Hey gang, it's Johnny. I just want to take a second to talk to you guys about engagement. Right now, you're listening to the show, and I'm not sure exactly what platform you're listening to it on. Whatever platform you're listening on, be it Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Overcast, Stitcher, you can subscribe to it. And if you can leave a comment, leave a star, share it on your social media, if it's something that you like, please do that. We encourage you to do that. And also, as far as social media goes, you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter. I am at Johnny Gowdy on Instagram and Twitter. Also, you can like our Facebook page, How Did I Get Here? Please do. You'll see photos of me with guests that have been on the show. Anyway, all I want to say is you like a show, share it, use the hashtag How Did I Get Here Pod. We'll give you a shout out. Thank you so much for listening to the show and engage. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys have all had a good week so far. Maybe you guys had a short week because Labor Day on Monday. That was exciting. Gang, I want to quickly thank everyone for all of the feedback on episode 1200 and episode 1201 and 1202. We've been dropping, we're doing three episodes this week. So episode 1200 with legendary bass player Rudy Sarzo from Ozzy Osbourne, Quiet Riot, Whitesnake, Blue Oyster Cult, Dio, Jeff Tate's Queensryche. He played with Yngwie Malmsteen. He played with so many people. Back out on the road with Quiet Riot. Thank you guys for all the great stuff. If you didn't get to listen to it, it's a two-hour conversation with a legend where we cover a lot of stuff about life. A lot of stuff about life, like really, like he gets into how quantum physics helped him understand the Bible. So we go to some odd places. It's not just Ozzy Osbourne pooping in shoes, but I do bring that up. Also, Monday's show with the Swan Song Serenade group, including Christine Albert, my dear old friend since I was 14, and of course, Adrian and Celeste Quesada, Adrian Quesada, who had the number one Spanish album earlier this summer, Latin album, Boleros Psychedelicos, my favorite album of the year. Honestly, not joking. Those are great shows. And of course, legendary songwriter Jack Temchin. So if you didn't listen to that one, go back and listen to it, man. Jack wrote Peaceful, Easy Feeling and Already Gone for the Eagles, co-wrote You Belong to the City, Smuggler's Blues, and The One Who Loves You with Glenn Frey. Huge hits. Also, Slow Dancing, Swaying to the Music. You know that song? Remember that one from when you were a kid? Anyway, great conversation with that dude about like the troubadour in the early 70s and Jackson Brown and Glenn Frey and Don Henley, like the whole gang out there writing songs and being that in that scene that ended up being that Southern California scene. He's recognized as one of the architects of that. Anyway, I want to thank you guys all for listening to that and all the feedback about it. It's been great. I'm really stoked. I have another great show for you today, but before we get into this, let me tell you real quick, you guys know I work with the Austin Music Foundation, specifically in their artist development program. And Wednesday, we introduced the sixth class of Austin Music Foundation's artist development program. These six artists are Grace Sorensen, amazing R&B singer. Jake Lloyd, awesome R&B hip-hop dude. El Combo Oscuro, amazing Latin band here in Austin. Rock and Roll Austin's best best hard rock band or best rock band at the Austin Music Awards last year. The Dead Coats, great having them on. My dear old friend, Sarah Hauser, S.L. Hauser, is one of our people. And today's guest, Poet Hawkins. Amazing, amazing singer-songwriter. Now, he only has one song available called Wild Ride on Spotify, but you can find that. You can find it. Hey, so anyway, a little bit about Austin Music Foundation's signature artist development program. From here on, we'll call it the ADP, okay? Along with a new strategic partnership with a PNC Bank, now in its sixth year, the Artist Development Program is established as Austin's most viable program for the discovery and development of emerging artists within the city's music industry. Thank you to our partner, PNC, for awarding Austin Music Foundation $25,000 grant to continue elevating the program and its participants. Yeah, it's very exciting. Very, very exciting. I'm going to go out there today. I think they're going to present a big check and at the Dead Coat show. And yeah, go to austinmusicfoundation.org to find out more about Austin Music Foundation. So gang, I have a great show for you today. As I said, Artist Development Program participant, Poet Hawkins is my guest today. And I'm probably introducing you to him. All right. He moved to Austin during the pandemic, during 2020, kind of tried to get his bearings and kind of get, you know, feeling around. He moved here, I think, from LA. And he moved here, started playing some open mics, and has released one song that's available on Spotify. It's called Wild Ride. It's an amazing song. We got to hear more songs from him, but the way that we pick the artist development program is, you know, there's a playlist. People submit, you know, our group of people go around looking for music. We all submit bands and people choose, and then it gets pared down. But when we all heard Poet Hawkins, no one had heard of him that works at AMF. And we were like, who is this guy? So anyway, as I've gotten to know him, because we've been, you know, doing meetings for the last couple of months and stuff, and, you know, you get to know these people and vet them before you bring them into the program. It was great getting to know Poet Hawkins. He's such an amazing artist. I've gotten to see him live. I've gotten to have him over to talk about his involvement in the artist development program and also just his journey. And I mean, he's 43 years old. But he's just now emerging as an artist. And sometimes, man, it takes a while for a flower to bloom. And this one is super worth it. We have such a great conversation. You can find him on Spotify and on Instagram. He doesn't have a website. It's Poet Hawkins, okay? And I'm looking forward to introducing him to you guys. You guys are going to love him. I promise you. Check out this song, Wild Ride. It's the one that I'm playing here on the show. And then, you know, look him up on Instagram. Follow him. Go to austinmusicfoundation.org to find out more about our artist development program and what you can do to get involved. We're going to be having some shows here coming up. I'll be announcing them. There's going to be one at ABGB here in October. So we're excited about that. Very excited. All right, gang. Without further ado, let me introduce you to an amazing, amazing songwriter and such a lovely man. I'm glad to call him my new friend. This is Poet Hawkins and me chatting it up. Let's get down. To match who you are. Yeah. And do you feel like, I feel like this sometimes too, because I don't know how old you are. I don't know if you say your age.
Yeah, I'm 43.
So you didn't come up with this.
Yeah, exactly.
You didn't grow up doing this. So it feels weird being like, hey, check me out. I'm at the store.
You right. Know, like, yeah, totally.
But there's people that are really fucking, like Alex's brother, AJ, He's posting all the time, but it's real.
It's a part of who he is.
Yeah, and there's like a sense of humor to it. Exactly. There's you got to figure out your voice on there.
Sure, totally, yeah. Totally.
I have to too. Yeah. Right? It's not easy for people over 35.
Yeah, and how it fits in. I mean, I love songwriting. You know what I mean? So how does this fit with me needing to make sure I do my songwriting time? You know what I mean?
And, yeah.
And recording and producing. So it's yeah.
It's so weird, isn't it? This like when you know when I was coming up and A&R was coming up, like there was no like You sat there and worked on fucking songs all day and rehearsed with your band all day. And like, you know, did everything. You went on the road and played shows and like got your, because there was no way to, at someone in Dallas would ever know who you were unless a friend of yours there saw you in Austin.
Unless
you know what I mean?
You guys got there to play, My dad was, they had a gospel group. I think they did, they, you know, they were successful. I think they toured a lot here in the States. But it was like, you got to go there. And then the people know you. There's a promoter. But you go there, you rock the house, and then you
They remember you.
Yeah.
They tell two friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it'd really be interesting to see, not the popular groups, right? Not the, like, the Metallicas and the, you know, Madonnas, all the people that really blew up. But I think there was probably a lot of really great musicians and songwriters that were just in the wrong time. You know what I mean? That had a local following, that were really great.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
Now, right, they could just reach millions.
Or not.
Or not.
You know, I mean, because that's a thing, too.
That's
is
a
like,
thing, too, yeah.
Exactly now right. There's so much coming at you.
Exactly.
That's the part.
That's really interesting.
You know, there's so much coming at you. There's like, I can't remember if it's a day or per week, but there are 30,000 songs uploaded to Spotify.
Yeah, every day. Or something,
or
like
maybe that. Every week.
Yeah,
it's astonishing either way.
Exactly.
So how in the hell do we get heard?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally, totally. That's real. One of the reasons why I want to talk to Mark and really figure this thing out. That's what
Mark who?
I'm sorry, Vallejo.
Oh, Alex.
Alex. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm saying though. I'm thinking. Yeah. One of the reasons I want to talk to Alex is because for what I do, right? I want to have that close relationship. I mean, I sung on Tuesday at the open mic. Mm-hmm. And
here, just stay on that mic.
Oh,
sorry. I'm not going to. I'll get off your ass.
I was in tears. This lady in the front row was in tears. We're having this emotional exchange. And that's what I want to do, right? I don't want to be in here. I want to be here. So there's a way, I think, for me to figure out. I may not be at a million, but maybe I could, 10,000, I'll take 100,000.
Do you know that whole, you know Kevin Smith, the director, he did like Clerks and Dogma and...
I'm familiar with those, sound familiar.
Okay, so he directed those movies and he's since gone on to do, like start this podcast network and do all this shit. But he has a theory that all you really need is 10,000 people to buy your shit every time it comes out and you can live.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Totally, yeah.
Like, there's no one's going to be Bono anymore.
Exactly.
It's real hard. Like, Harry Styles,
sure.
I don't know how he did it.
Exactly.
But he did it.
Yeah.
And he's very famous.
Right. Yeah, totally.
And he seems really rich.
Yeah, there'll always be that one person, yeah.
Yeah.
Like a Bieber buying a $300 on a car.
But there's people like even 50 Cent. Like, you know, people are like, oh, why aren't you putting out more music? He's like, because last year I made a $150,000 on music and $17 million on water. So right. I'm going to work with the water thing.
Exactly.
Because that pays off a little more than the music.
Totally,
yeah,
totally. And I think that's what I think artists have to do for balance now, right? Because we're still emotional. We're still humans. And even though you might see that success, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to go to sleep and be happy at night.
Yeah.
So my cousin... has actually blown up doing like, he did like these 1 minute, you know, if the Migos or like all these famous rappers, Travis Scott, and he blew up and it had an effect on his emotional health. And he also writes original music, but nobody knows him for that. They only know him as the 1 minute guy. So we do these things, they tell you to do these things
to get
blow
popular.
Up, but it's
but
like,
you're not doing what's coming out of your soul.
Exactly.
Fuck. Wow, what a drag.
Yeah,
yeah. It's a weird thing, man. I'll work on, like, last year I released a bunch of singles and stuff, right? So I worked, man. I wrote songs.
Yeah.
Then I went to a place, paid dudes. Everybody played. We mixed it. And then, like, the song, like, hey, man, I released this song.
Yeah.
And here it is. And I had, you know, 40 likes on it.
Yeah.
I put a picture of fucking me and Rosie at the park. 215. It's like, what?
Exactly.
Why?
Yeah, why?
I worked really hard on this stuff.
Totally, totally, yeah.
Yeah. It's weird because everything is kind of content now.
Yeah.
And it seems like the, there's something, like even this, like to me, a podcast is content.
Sure.
We didn't spend months getting this together or, you know, whatever. This is just two people relating to each other, connecting, and someone can enjoy that like a fly on the wall.
Totally.
But there's inspiration with music. There's perspiration. There's perspiration like crazy. There's organization.
Yeah.
Like, so much goes into one song getting to Spotify.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, totally.
It's not just come over, we'll talk for an hour, and I'll put it out in 3 weeks.
Right. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah, definitely.
That's interesting, man, because, you know, there's one thing. I can say this now because this will come out after we've announced that everything's going on. But you're in the artist development program in the Austin Music Foundation. And a lot of people, like, now that we've been doing it a few years, people are like, hey, man, how do I get in that? Mm. Like, who do I submit to? And I was like, there's no submission.
Exactly.
And there's no, no, like, thing.
Yeah.
And I bet other people do.
Mm-hmm.
But I know Einar and I don't go and look at someone's Instagram numbers and they're like, not enough likes. What we respond to is what happens to us. The feeling that comes over me when I listen to music is what, and we're allowed to do that, which is great because this is a strictly artistic, you know, thing. And like your song, like, I don't know, did you, because I was like, I don't know where the hell Einar found you, but I mean, that was all of us responded the same way. Like, the fuck is this guy? Like, Jesus Christ, this guy's amazing.
Yeah.
Like,
I love that story of finding AMF.
Yeah. Did you go in for a consultation? Is that?
Well, yeah. So not even before that. So, I was living in LA. I love LA, performing around LA. But it's so expensive. The culture, the people are changing. My wife went to school in Abilene, and she has friends in Dallas and Houston. So I said, I'm taking my wife out of California, but I don't want her to be away from her community. She actually didn't want to come. So I said, I'm going to Austin where there's a music scene, because I had known, I'm a musician, that Austin was like the music capital of the world, or, you know, shows and things of that nature.
Yeah.
So I say, hey, we're going to Austin because you can't decide, and I'm a songwriter. Get to Austin during the pandemic, no shows, going outside, not singing anywhere. So I spent the first year just writing.
Yeah.
It's where I finished Wild Ride.
Such a beautiful song, man.
Yeah. And then eventually, so fast forward a year, the beginning of this year, I start going out and I go to House Wine, and not the first time that I went, but one time I went and some guys were talking, and this guy was like, yeah, and there's this thing that's called AMF, and it's basically a nonprofit, and, you know, you talk to this guy, and I was like, that sounds interesting. So I put it in here. I think I might have made a note right in my phone, you know, check out AMF.
Yeah.
Saw it, had the thing with Einar, and now I know that my life will be, it will never be the same. And it's amazing.
Well, like, don't put too much pressure on us.
Yeah. Well, no, because the thing is, and I was thinking about this on the way over here, is that music is not something that you do by yourself, right? 100% of nothing is nothing.
That's exactly right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I do believe that there's a way to monetize what I'm doing. I don't want 100% of that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I want to share. I want to be helpful to other people. And I know that there are areas where I need help.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So whether that's a manager, whether that's a, you know, whether that's players.
That's what we saw too. Like,
exactly.
you fit the description. Like, you know, there might be people that might be more.
Talented?
No.
Oh.
No, because all of that's subjective.
Sure, sure.
You know what I mean? You're great to us. There's no, this guy's better than that. It's hard for me to do that with music.
Mm-hmm.
If your presence, you know what I'm saying? Like, I could see some people in town going like, and who is this guy? I've never even seen. Why did they get him and not me? Mm-hmm. I have 15,000 followers or whatever.
Sure.
And the thing is that, like, with you, it is a unique situation. First of all, you came and sought out AMF, so you know what we're kind of about.
Sure.
You know, whatever the hour that you spent with Einar. But with you, you'll come out of this 6 months later with a couple of songs, having played some higher profile shows, and having some connections with some musicians that are out there doing stuff that you can touch base with. And that's the main thing, because Einar and me came up in this scene.
Yeah.
And people It wasn't through AMF, but we have mentors. My mentor is a guy named Mark Hallman, who owns the recording studio, the Congress House.
Okay.
He's a producer here. And they taught us all the shit.
Yeah.
You know, and now it's our turn to turn around and make sure that this thing that everybody loves about Austin stays in place. And what that is people being acknowledging that we're family. And treating each other like
exactly,
like being there for each other, and that's the beauty of the scene.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, so all right, let's figure this out. First of all, you are a great songwriter, Wild Raid, amazing song. But that's the only thing that you guys out there can find from the great poet Hawkins.
Yeah,
we're gonna get more out there.
We are,
and
it's coming.
Yeah,
it's been one of my, I hate to use the word struggles. It's hard to capture the magic of me performing live in the studio, and sometimes even by yourself, finding the right players, finding the right producers. There have been just a few instances where I felt like everything has come together on the same page. Yeah. And I think I had to mature, but also you got to find the right producers who are going to work to get the magic. One example is, there's a song I wrote called Broken Road. Guy heard it. We went into his studio, recorded it, had a decent version of it, right? Didn't do much with that, but we came back to it some years later and really found that magic in that sweet spot. And sometimes that's what it takes, right? It takes not just piling some stuff on top of what you already have. It really takes maybe taking something apart and saying, where's the magic in this and how do we keep that and add to that? So.
Yeah, and also shine a brighter light on the magic.
Sure.
That's the main thing. It's like you're the thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So how did you record Wild Ride?
So Wild Ride,
I like that I point at my notes so the audience knows that while they're sitting in the
car. Was recorded at my home studio.
Okay.
I played everything that you're hearing on the record, and that was a lot of fun. I was mixed by my great friend, Garfield Adams in L.A. Really great mixing engineer, mastering engineer. And it was one of those ones where I really just finally sat down and took the time to put everything together with the drum loop and the piano, and it just really started to feel good.
Yeah.
And I was able to complete. I was able to get it to a point where I felt comfortable releasing it. I'm happy with what we did. Obviously, there's some things as a musician that I'd like to...
It must be weird that there's one thing out there. Does that, like, are you like, I need to get more things out there because there's just one?
Yeah, you know, one of the things about that is I do want more out. I do have more. I have a lot of material.
Yeah.
Actually, like, I write records and then they never come out. You know, there's a record called Monte Carlo. I think it's like 18 songs in.
Sure.
That I'm still, still dealing with. But one of the things I want to make sure is that I can keep doing it and keep releasing it at that quality. And part of that issue for me has really been financially.
Yeah.
It's like, do I,
you fucking know, expensive, man.
Yeah. So it's like, do I pay some guys in a studio and a producer to have, 3 to 5 songs and then it's just there? Or do I invest in myself so that I can
buy the studio
always
stuff?
Keep making it, because you never know, right? And we're in an age now where you could put a song out. I mean, I think Wild Ride is at like $13 right now when I went into my DistroKid.
Yeah, so, baby.
You know, you just never know. So I have more music that I'm ready to share, and that's one of the things I wanted to. I'm loving about working with AMF is because I want to give it directly to the people, and then I want it to be out there, and I want everything to really be symbiotic. So I'm super excited.
Yeah,
man.
And during this time, we'll be able to sort of also like gather some folks to sit down and talk to you about sort of like structuring all the online.
Yeah, totally.
Shenanigans.
Totally, yeah. And one of the things too is that, just music in that digital world, it's not that I don't want to be there, but I have such a great time connecting with people, man. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, I may not be like, I don't think I'm sort of like a really big show artist. Like,
thousands of people festivals, but I'm really like more of like a small room, like a Nina Simone or just a, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. There's a world. I mean, there are people, you know, a whole world, like, you know, it's great. Do you know Mary Gaucher, like in the singer songwriter world? She's,
I heard part of that interview though. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Know, I mean,
yeah.
She's out there in Europe and, you know, going from living, like those house concerts, man, you make a fuckload of money, man. You make like 25, 3,000, 5,000 bucks, you know?
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, what's funny is there's so much of you that comes out just through that one song
that
I felt like I had an idea of who you, like, that's, you don't know how hard that is for some people.
Sure.
To put their personality in like a 3-minute thing.
Yeah.
And when you meet that person, you're like, yeah, that's the guy from the song.
Yeah.
This sweet guy, you know, nice guy, thoughtful.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's my Wild Ride is my voice and is the message.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a beautiful journey of writing to get to that point. My father's a songwriter. So I think I got the, you know, I always tell people I have the DNA.
Okay.
Father's an excellent songwriter. And
okay, so wait, where did you grow up?
I was born in LA, grew up in North Carolina, so I spent most of my like teenage rearing years.
Oh, nice.
And then I came out to California right before I graduated high school, finished high school, and followed my brother out to Orange County to go to Cal State Fullerton. Didn't like it, didn't really like LA, the thing. Went back a couple of times, came back. And then once I finally got my guitar and started music, the rest is history.
So your dad was a songwriter and he was traveling with a gospel group. What about your mom?
My mom, just a businesswoman. Okay. I think she played a little piano.
Just a businesswoman.
Yeah. Well, my mom, actually what's great about my mom is that she had a gymnastics studio. She had a tax business. She had, you know, just these off, she had her own office. And now that I'm older, I can look back and was like, Mom, how did you do that? You had three kids. You were a single mom. You know what I mean? She would do these like bus tours and, you know.
Oh, yeah. So your parents were divorced when you were a kid.
Yeah.
Okay. How many brothers and sisters you have?
There's three of us from my parents.
Okay.
And now I have six total. Okay. Six of us total.
I have one from my parents, then two from my dad and another lady.
Yeah.
Then four from my dad and another lady. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So it's a shitload of them.
Yeah.
That when you moved to Orange County, you didn't like it, and then you went back to North Carolina, and then back to L.A.?
Yeah. Yep.
And so wait, you discovered your guitar, like, that. What were you going to do with, like, how old were you when you were like, I found my guitar?
So this, when I found my guitar was probably, I'm going to go right in the middle and maybe say, let's say 21. In between 19 and 22.
So what was the dream? Like, what were you going to do with your life before then?
I wanted to be a rapper.
Okay. So you were still going to be in music.
Well, yeah.
Still an entertainer.
I was...
Are you a good rapper?
No, I don't think.
Yeah, because you don't sound like you'd be, like, you musically. I got to be honest.
Yeah. No, so I was... I had transferred to the University of North Carolina at Charlotte. And I was in the dorm. And I had just started writing raps. And I was like, wait, I need beats. And I knew that I was going to play because my dad played it. I was like, at some point I'm going to...
Sorry.
Okay. I knew that I was going to play. At some point I was going to pick it up. And then I was like, well, I need music. I got to make beats. So I didn't get a guitar then. I went back to California and started writing poetry. Was driving out to LA. Saw these two guys who played guitar. It was magical. Then I got my guitar.
Okay.
And like I said, that was about 21.
It was an acoustic guitar?
It was an acoustic a black Fender acoustic guitar.
Okay. Is it crappy?
It was probably middle of the road. I maybe spent between $300 to $500 on it.
You've been asked, how many guitars do you have?
Now I'm like 12, 14 guitars now.
Wow.
Yeah, I've been through a journey. I wish I had looking back on it, there's some things I would have done differently.
Yeah.
Like I would have immediately bought my Martin HD28.
Sure.
Versus building up to that.
What's the HD28? Is it like a D28
rip-off? Yeah, just a D28. Just, you know, some of the
cheaper?
The woods. No, which one?
The HD28?
A little bit more expensive. Oh. I would have spent a little bit more money, right? I would have probably got a guitar that was, say, around $2,000
right.
Versus the $500 guitar.
I've got this cool that the bigger acoustic is a Takamine from it's an 81.
It's a great brand.
It's the but it's the when you look at the headstock you'll see it's from the lawsuit series where they were ripping off the D28s from Martin.
So great guitars. Yeah, totally. Yeah. And I wish that maybe I had been around some guys that were really heavily into guitars, right? Like it was really at that time just me, right? Like I was really the only guy on campus that I knew that was walking around with a guitar.
Were you walking around with it?
Walking around with it, yeah.
Yeah, baby. And did you have it in the case or strapped her on your back?
Just strapped on my back with flip-flops. That's what everybody remembers me as, the guy that walked around with flip-flops and the guitar.
Were you writing songs then?
Yeah, so I started writing songs. So what's crazy is that I started writing songs. I was working graveyard and...
What were you going to school for?
At that time...
Well, did you have to pretend to your parents that you were going to school for something?
No. Okay. They were super cool. Okay. I was in the direction of sociology at that point.
Okay.
So I was writing songs at night. I took the easiest little chords I could find, and I had already been writing poetry and getting on stage.
Right.
So I went out once I had a song, once I felt like, okay, I'm ready, and I sung my first song, and a lady by the name of V. Kali, I forget what exactly she said, but... It was such a confirmation for me as a writer.
Yeah.
In that moment.
Yeah.
That it just, the whole world opened up, literally. Right. And it's been, like I said, I haven't stopped writing since. Haven't stopped being inspired since.
Yeah.
And I'm very fortunate. So that was one. And then maybe a little bit after that, my dad came out. And at that time, we were putting shows on campus.
Mm-hmm.
My dad came, he played a song or two, heard me sing, and was like, wow, son, you know, you're really good, and took me to the studio. So there's all these little...
Wow, that's...
Yeah, there's all these little steps that, like, once I did that, once my dad gave me his blessing and took me to the studio, and I got to see what that was like with him, it was like, oh, man, there's no stopping me now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because... I just feel it. And so fast forward throughout the years, I've always had these moments where people tell me how my music has affected them. And it's like, that's what I want to do.
Affirmation of your journey.
Exactly.
Keep on going, man.
Exactly.
Keep on going.
Yep. Keep doing that. And so, yeah, trusting your voice, all those things, man. So that's how we get to Wild Ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful, man.
Yeah.
So when you were in LA, what were you doing? Like, how did you... Were you playing gigs out there?
Yeah, playing.
But where?
Well.
And what were the gigs? What was going on?
Just, let me see. I had a band phase. A couple of really great guys. Cliff Ellens, Jeremy Farmer, that I played with. I loved those guys. We had a three-piece and was writing songs, playing with those guys. Booking shows here and there. A lot of shows I did on campus. You know, around that time, playing some of the smaller clubs. Another great buddy of mine, Cephas McCollum, he was writing tunes. So we were kind of just getting out there where we could. Yeah. We did a few, I didn't do a lot of them, but some of the pay-to-play shows where you buy tickets you know, you got to sell the tickets for the shows.
I always wonder, because Anar and I did like these showcases out there at the Viper Room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
I wonder if those were that and they just didn't, like, similar. Nobody told us because they didn't want us to feel bad about ourselves or something.
Yeah, Viper Room, all of those. Yeah, we played those clubs, Hotel Cafe, as you got.
That's a pretty, very prestigious, like, acoustic solo place.
Yeah, and that's small room. So I played the small stage and I played the big stage a couple of times. Yeah, but I think some of the cost of living out there, and as I got older and wanting to make sure that my band was taken care of, then it becomes like, okay, this is made more money than I could, you know, afford. So I had an opportunity to travel a little bit, thanks to a good buddy of mine named Kevin Sandblom. I went to Charlotte, Atlanta, went to Nashville for the first time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, with my then girlfriend, now wife. That was super
How long have you guys been together?
10 years.
Wow, awesome. Yeah. Congratulations.
So I've always gravitated towards the stage. I really like, I almost don't want to say open mics because I feel like it gets a bad rap, but being in front of people.
It gets a bad rap from me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so sorry, but it does.
No, it does. Yeah. It does. And we can go down that road.
Yeah, yeah. There are ones that are like, when I moved to Austin in the early 90s, sorry to interrupt you.
No.
There's a place called Cactus Cafe.
I love Cactus.
Fucking killer room, yeah. Right? Well, they had one on mm-hmm. Mondays that was run by a really popular songwriter. Fucking killer.
Yeah.
And it was, there were other people that were like, oh shit, like, you know. But it seems like that those things are a great place to go and sort of like start getting your barriers. But a lot of it is just a bunch of people patting each other on the back.
Exactly.
For just doing it.
Exactly.
You know, which is really important, and you sure. need that. But if you're gonna, sometimes you got to get kicked out of the nest.
Sure.
And yeah. get your ass kicked a little yeah. bit and be like, oh, yeah. I'm not as awesome as yeah. all those guys said I was.
Yeah. And yeah. people, I think what I've seen from being here in Austin is that some songwriters don't realize that people are listening. People are listening.
How do you mean that?
Well, sometimes I think people just want to hear themselves sing.
Yeah.
Right? They just want to, some just want to hear themselves sing, or they just want that feeling that you get from being on stage.
Yeah.
Right? Because who doesn't want to be like applauded?
Yeah, you're on a journey. Some of those guys are just, yeah. hey, this is what I do on Mondays, man. It's real cool. Yeah. I write a song during the week, and it just kind of keeps me, which is great.
Right.
But some guys, like, you're a lifer. You're sure. a pro.
Yeah.
And you need to, like, get out of the nest and get your ass kicked a little bit.
Yeah.
Get out there in the yeah. in the world where there's people that are, like, way better than you.
Exactly.
Like, and you're like, whoa, shit,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, definitely. And so it's...
And you grow exponentially. Like, you know, you yeah. you can grow so fast once you're able to step outside. And it, the hardest thing, I think, for an artist, and I know I've said this a bazillion times, but... It's the truth. A&R and my life were changed.
Sure.
We were playing together in the 90s.
Wow.
Out there slugging it out, like yeah. five nights a week, three sets.
Sure, sure, sure.
You know, getting drunk as shit, because yeah. that's all you can really do in those situations. And just, you know, hanging in there.
Yeah.
And there was no plan forward to get out and do the sure. thing. We were professional musicians, but we were just going in circles.
Sure.
And we weren't really... moving the needle,
yeah,
so to speak.
Totally.
And then we got this manager that was like, well, I mean, because you guys are good. Mm-hmm. And we're like, no, we're great, dude. People are like, you're a legend. Like,
yeah.
Well, you're not a fucking legend, but you can be.
Right.
You just got to be better. And exactly. we're like, hey, man, I am Johnny Gowdy. Like, it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
And no one really cares. You like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. and then you start being like, wow. And then you think about like, oh, well, what? Think about your own show and like what happens when someone just walks in with no context.
Mm-hmm.
Are they seeing greatness?
Right.
No, they're not.
They're not.
I gotta change my shit.
Yeah, totally. You know? That's it.
And then once you do that, you grow so fast.
Yeah, totally.
Like with that band, we got this manager guy, and in. I want to put this timeline right and not make it exaggerative, but this is very true. We got this guy working with us in like February of 97. Mm-hmm. We went into the studio. He brought us into a studio. He worked at a publishing company. He didn't really have any pull there, except mm-hmm. he was friends with the engineer, and he was like, hey, bring in this band. Let's try and fucking do something with the yeah. band. So we went in there and we did this thing, and that was in February, January of 97. And then by that fall, mm-hmm. we had changed our band. Our drummer got a guitar player and stuff. And I had flown to LA to write with like professional mm-hmm. songwriters.
Sure.
And we were, our three songs were being shopped to every label in the world. Mm-hmm. And then like a year and a couple months later, we started negotiating our first record deal.
Wow.
And within a year and a half, we were signed.
Yeah.
And in LA making a record. You wow. know what I mean?
That's it.
So that's yeah. how fast everything changed. Once we were able to step outside of ourselves. And,
sure.
And we had a great team.
Yeah.
I'm totally. Not going to take anything away from them. They had the reach, but we also rose to the occasion.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
you know, those things are pretty important.
Super important. And I equate that to with me. And I don't remember how it happened, but I got objective about my songwriting.
Yeah,
I wasn't always, and I'm still working on this, but I don't think I was ever a great chorus writer, and
like for that, like the raise your arm, and
yeah,
the,
yeah,
kind yeah, of yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've always been good with words,
yeah.
and turning those around, yeah. and I thought my verses were like Verses have been strong.
Yeah.
But when I got objective and was like, sometimes like, hey, man, that, you know, that chorus isn't working.
Yeah.
That verse, you know, is that the best verse? Is that the best way to say that? It really, I think, took me up another notch.
Totally.
And like with what you guys, it can really change your whole trajectory.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. It just takes someone that you trust saying something real to you that
sure.
when in out of love.
Exactly.
Like, yep. I want you to be better.
Yeah.
I want to come in here and like start crying when you're playing a fucking song. That's right. That's the experience I want to have at a Poet Hawkins show.
Sure.
You know?
That's it.
I want to see you, and the second you start playing, everyone just completely gets quiet. Like the cactus. That's the other beautiful thing about that room is like, man, I haven't played there in years.
Wow. Yeah, it's still great. I
used to play there all the time.
A few weeks ago, and the sound, the room, the history of it, it's still very, very magical, but a lot of back padding still.
Yeah. What music are you, like, obviously you wanted to be a rapper starting out, but like, as far as like singer-songwriters, like, who are your guys?
Oh, man.
Or gals.
And I'm going completely out of order. I really love what James Morrison has done and is doing throughout his career. There's somebody I got put onto right now named Donna Missal. Mm-hmm. I like her writing. I like a lot of gospel. I like a lot of different types of music. So I still listen to like rap, hip hop, classical, all these different things. I'm always like absorbing music. But in terms of like songwriters, man, who am I really vibing with? Let me see.
Look at your Spotify
look at
history.
My Spotify playlist.
What's cool? I mean, I think there's just so many. And this is a
there's so many great songwriters right now. Yeah, I'm always on the hunt. You know,
yeah,
love some of the obviously the greats, and then I think there are a lot of people who are just making great music.
Is it too late to submit for that Dripping Springs Songwriters Festival? That might be a good step.
Oh, okay.
Into something. Do you know about this?
I'm not sure about that one. Yeah.
I wonder if what I saw was they were announcing or what. It's called Dripping Spring Songwriter, but apparently it's good. They have it at a bunch of clubs, and you can meet other people that are doing the same thing as you. That's the other thing too, is like, you know, I mean, just like in the Mary Gauthier's girlfriend, that's how I know Mary is. I'm real good friends with her girlfriend, Jamie Harris, who used to live here. Phenomenal songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
Like a capital P.
Yeah, totally.
Phenomenal. Maybe all caps.
Yeah.
Phenomenal songwriter, phenomenal singer, phenomenal performer, everything. Yeah. She's amazing. You know, we met through, I guess, music circles and stuff, and just really, like, she ended up singing backgrounds on a record of mine and also writing together.
Mm-hmm.
And do you do any writing with people?
I want to do more co-writing.
Did I write a song with you?
Yeah, I would love to. Yeah. I actually thought about that. I was like, yeah, I want to write. There's a song. Actually, I have a song.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
Totally.
I don't want to have to come up with the idea, but I'll help you write your song.
Definitely. I think it'll be a cool idea, yeah.
I just got a new phone and I had to transfer all my voice notes. It's like, everything is like... like all those notes.
Yep, got to have
so
them.
So sad.
And that's one thing about me is I try not to let any song get past me. Whether I spend a lot of time sitting at my desk.
That's good. There are times I go through phases where I'm a disciplined songwriter and I'm writing all the time. And then they're like, now I'm just like, I don't know.
So I think it was like yesterday I was doing my regular day job stuff. And then it was like, and I just grabbed a couple of samples, did some things because my mic is hooked up to the desk.
Oh, nice.
And recorded them, went back to what I was doing.
That's great.
Yeah.
What's your day job?
So I work at a law firm.
Oh, awesome.
I've been doing some marketing, a little bit of admin. I was doing some legal assistant things. I love it, man. I've had a great work history, great managers. I remember one time I had to go, we flew to Oakland, one of my bands, shout out Blue Key Quartet. I flew to Oakland on like a weeknight. So let's just say Tuesday, got off work, flew to Oakland. I'm sitting in Oakland at like, say, 11 midnight at this club. Flew back to work for work in the morning. It was so cool. One of the best experiences I've ever had. And then having to ask my manager, hey, can I go to San Diego to play some shows? And it's like, what was great about that manager, shout out Richard Witherspoon, was he was like, do you believe in her? I was like, yeah. And I did. Went to San Diego, played a cool show, came back. So I've had just a really great experience with that.
You're lucky, man. That's great.
Yeah. I'm fortunate. Yeah.
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 Have you seen any people here that you've of any? I know you went to go see Jake Lloyd that night.
Jake Lloyd was super dope.
He's awesome, right?
Jake Lloyd was, yeah, man, amazing show.
What a nice guy too.
I haven't caught a lot of, I would say, maybe somewhat major acts.
Austin.
Yeah.
Jammers.
Yeah. But some of the people that I've met are really special.
Right.
Yeah, really special songwriters.
We still need to go to that thing. She's not back yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
She's out on tour with Steve Earle.
Sure. So. Yeah. I want to catch some shows. I think there's some great rooms, a lot of great people coming through. But yeah, there's a few people right now that I'm really a fan of what they're doing with their artistry. So
that's good, man. Yeah. We're going to make sure that there's some people that become fans of yours. Sure. I mean, all people have to do is hear your stuff. If they don't like it, then they're just stupid.
Yeah. The place I've been performing have been cool because there's sort of like a running crowd and I'm getting a great response. And what I love about what I'm doing is that it has no bounds, from like little children to older gentlemen. Like when I left Cactus, this gentleman, he might have been 70. He was like, man, I really felt your song and it brought me to tears. And I was like, wow.
Did you play an open mic there?
Yeah.
Oh, well, keep on playing that one. Cause
Cactus is great. It gets a little bit cold for me. Like when cold rooms, my hands kind of start to lock up. But yeah, I definitely want to be there. Cactus is great.
Dude, that place is great. There used to be this guy that ran it named Griff for years. And I think like in the 80s and 90s, he ran it up until like the mid 2000s. But you could go and like I used to smoke cigarettes. Smoke in the office, like in the back there.
Yeah.
Smoke weed back there.
Yeah, like, totally.
It's like walk out. Like, I love that place so much. What a beautiful room.
Yeah. I think for me, Johnny, one of the people that hold space, right? Like AMF holds space for artists and really wants to help them grow. People that some people that put on shows, right, that might put on an open mic, I think have really some of the best hearts.
Yeah.
I come from that space. In college, we put on shows, and I understand what that's like. One of the things I'm starting to see for me is, gosh, I almost hate to call it a showcase, but I want to put something on like just a really special night. I think Sunday is going to be a special night where there's great chemistry.
By the way, the Sunday he's talking about already happened if you're listening to the show.
Yeah.
Sorry.
There's a great camaraderie. People are there to support. It's not about the back patting as much as it is. It's like, I'm really just a fan of what you're doing.
Yeah.
And so.
Real fans.
Yeah. So I'm what I'm thinking about is I might get into a space here because I don't just want a gig where I'm really trying to hold space for myself.
Yeah.
And for some people that I really like what they're doing.
Yeah.
Versus just running out saying, hey, come check me out here. You know, it's, I get it, but it doesn't really line up exactly with who I am and my message. So,
do you ever go to Saxon Pub?
Is that near South Austin Music?
Yep, next to it. Yeah.
Okay. I haven't been there yet. I'm looking forward to checking it out.
Would you go to South Austin Music?
You know, I just dropped a guitar off. I'm kind of starting to see like, I'm an avid guitar. I've gotten really into like building and
running
out. Yeah.
My friend built me that guitar last year.
No.
One of my best friends.
You got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
We got to talk about that. That's special. So
I'll introduce you if you want to meet. He's great.
Yeah. I've got a couple of guitars in the shops and just seeing like, who do I like, you know, getting my thing.
Oh, together. Getting your stuff worked on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Getting my stuff worked on. So
yeah.
I want to check out Saxon Pub, sure.
But you didn't meet a guy named Sean at South Austin Music, did you? Very jovial dude.
They were great guys.
Kind of guy like, hey, how you doing, man? Like,
just maybe. Like, I didn't get any names.
That's my godson.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Maybe I did meet him then.
Me and Anar have known him since he was like 12.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, they were. I really enjoyed their customer service. Yeah. I enjoyed the variety of guitars that they had. They had a couple of guitars that I've been looking at that the major retailers don't carry.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, man, this is a really cool place. So
I played Bill's wedding, the owner of it.
Wow.
Recently, like that's a couple years ago or something. Yeah, I've known that guy. We were actually neighbors in like 1993 for a while.
That's
like
great.
Next door neighbors.
Yeah.
Have you been to Austin Vintage?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good
great
place.
Store.
Yeah.
One of the things about Austin Vintage is...
You wish you were a millionaire when you were
I know, right? But when you get up close to a really cool vintage guitar, it's like nothing else. And so a lot of these guys that are doing like the... Oh, a lot of the companies
right.
are doing
like the... That's relict. Yeah. But yeah, if it was actually the age that we that it looks, it would have a smell.
Sure.
Yeah.
But the... Yeah, so this I bought a relict... Ibanez 335, and I was like, I fell out of love with it. It's not the same.
It's like a jazz. Wouldn't that be a jazz?
Yeah.
Jazz dude's guitar.
Yeah.
Play flat wounds on it.
I like the bigger body.
Yeah. You're a tall dude.
Yeah. So, they're not the same. But yeah, I need a lot more money to go back in there and really just grab.
So do I. But you know, Bill always said like Bill and Sean, like they're like, dude, why don't you come in here all the time? And I'm like, I don't have the money, and I don't want to go to a store. Like, I want to say hi to you guys, but I don't want to be the guy that's like, oh, yeah, hey, man, can I get some pics?
That's exactly what I did last time
I want to support you guys, man. Can I get some pics?
Yep. Keep the doors open with those pics, man.
Yeah, no shit.
So.
Yeah, man, we should go check out Continental Club. Like, I'm excited to see. I'm excited to see how this town takes to you and sort of like, you know, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I'm just excited to see what people say because they're just going to be like, what?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, man. There's some great rooms and a great history here in Austin. And I'm loving just what I'm hearing, the stories and the venues and even people telling me. I guess one of them is maybe Moody, like the new Moody versus, you know, all the... So, yeah.
I was just talking to Alex and Einar about that. We were on was it with you?
I don't think so.
Okay, because I thought it was just the three of us, but I was like, they were like, they named this new place Moody. I'm like, you know, it's not a problem yet, but when someone comes in from out of town and has a ticket to a show at one of those places, they're going to get fucking pissed when they get in their Uber because they're just going to hit the first Moody thing they see.
Right.
And they're going to end up like, there's nothing going on here tonight. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I don't understand why they couldn't come up with one different name.
Definitely.
There's only two venues named Moody and they added a third.
Yeah.
Anyway, is there places that you kind of go that you've been outside of the Cactus, like that you've gone to and you've been like, oh, this is kind of a cool Mozart's. I mean,
Mozart's. Yeah. I love it there. It's a great space. It's actually, somewhere that I really want to start to hold space. Housewine. On, I think it's near Barton Springs in Lamar. Really cool, homey place. They do a thing on Monday nights and people play there. They do shows there. Really great place. Those are the only, let me see. There's one place and I don't want to shame anybody. So I won't talk about that. I did have a bad experience.
A terrible place?
there's been a couple of bad experiences so far. I won't knock any.
That's nice of you.
And one of the things I'm starting to realize is such a gigging town still. Like Wednesday through like Saturday, I haven't really been out that much.
There's a lot of there's also I mean I don't do them. I used to do them a lot, like the 3-hour El Mercado restaurant gigs.
Rough.
Those will get you drinking. I don't know if you drink, but those,
yeah, I'm not a heavy
those
drinker.
Those got me. Those made me like a drunk for a while when I did them. But there's all those like there's just so many breweries and they all have music. Like all those wineries out there in the hill country, they all have music. Like I've been to ones where they have like a guy from 12 to 3, and then they have another guy from 3 to 6.
Exactly.
You know
what
I mean?
Yeah.
So they're really like booking a lot of stuff that like the my friends play. I think every week at that Dripping Springs Vodka place.
Anyway, that's something I'm getting used to. I'm used to like the 45 minutes to an hour.
Used to LA shows.
Shows. So actually my set this past Sunday was 3 hours. And it's not that I didn't have enough material for that. It's just that I've met some really special people and I wanted to share space. And maybe we'll get to that point where I do like just a full 2 hours or something like that. But
also like you got to think about it in terms of what people know of yours. So if someone is a fan, really the only song they know is Wild Ride and that's their touchstone to what you do. But the more music you have out there, the more that they'll know. And like,
yeah.
I'm excited, man.
And everything that I've been singing lately
are
things that I really want to get up. It's actually, I want to sit down with, or maybe get on a Zoom with you, A&R, and Alex, because I do have a batch of tunes. And I'll either there's a couple of mixing things that I really want to solidify to either put them out on my own or sit down with some mentors and say, hey, look, what's a good way to go about getting this done? Because it will probably be maybe just me and the guitar, maybe something in the background.
Sure.
And figuring out, you know, what that might cost me to get it done. So, yeah, I'm super excited.
Yeah.
I've been getting a great response about that.
We'll help you figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Everyone get out there and check out Poet Hawkins. You can find him on Spotify. Check out his Instagram. He's updating it.
Yeah.
It's got stuff going on.
Yeah, pictures and going to try to...
I like those photos. There was one with the one that you used for the poster with your head down.
Sure.
Like I love the art of that photo, like the energy of it.
Yeah.
Like I like that more than like...
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
Like the smiling face guy.
Yeah.
Dude, this has been great.
Yeah, it's been wonderful.
I really like you, and I'm so glad you're part of this program.
Thanks, man.
And I'm so glad you're part of our community now.
Exactly,
like,
yeah.
We needed a Poet Hawkins. Wow. Like nobody's business.
That's great, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And everything I've seen from yours has been great, man. Like I said, I have a song that I think we will do that'll be special.
Yeah, we're gonna do two, so you better come up with another one. And let's write a song. Yeah, that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Sorry, I thought you meant the recording.
Yeah.
All right, everyone get out there and check out Poet Hawkins. It's been great talking.
It's been great.
Yeah. That's the great Poet Hawkins. What a fantastic conversation. What a beautiful dude and what an amazing artist. Gang, get out there and follow him on Instagram. Check out his tune, Wild Ride, which you're hearing here on Spotify. There'll be new songs coming down the pike. Of course, we'll be doing a couple tunes with him. So you'll hear a couple tunes that he did with the artist development program in, I think, January or February. Yeah, that stuff's coming down. And don't forget to check out the rest of this stuff. Go to austinmusicfoundation.org to find out more about what's going on over there with the Artist Development Program. Congratulations to Gray Sorensen, Jake Lloyd, El Combo Oscuro, The Dead Coats, SL Hauser, and of course my guest today, Poet Hawkins, for getting into the program. Always great talking to them. Gang, you can subscribe to this podcast wherever it is that you find podcasts, be it Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Overcast, Stitcher, anywhere. New shows every Tuesday, every Friday, sometimes three shows a week like this last week. I'll be introducing you to great artists like Poet Hawkins, and you'll be getting to know great legends like Rudy Sarzo and Jack Temchin. All kinds of stuff going on here on How Did I Get Here. All right, follow us on Facebook, How Did I Get Here. Also, you can follow me on Instagram. I'm at Johnny Gowdy on Twitter and on Instagram. All right, Poet Hawkins, Wild Ride. Get out there, check it out. Have a great weekend. Let's get down.
Never see the dark before you're in it. Never see the circles till you're spinning. It's been a long time. Never need the truth in the beginning. Always think your heart will be in it, but it gets lost sometimes. Love is just a wild ride. Hang on to your lover. Hang on to your lover. It's wild ride. Love is just a wild ride. Hang on to your lover. Hang on to your lover. It's wild, wild ride. Never feel the fire till it's burning. Never know the danger when it's perfect. Love is blind sometimes. Target. Lately every aim's broken hearted. Gets hard sometimes. And when you're upside down and the words are wrong, and you're scared to say that your wings don't work, keep hanging. Hanging on, just keep hanging. When your heart is good but the clocks are slow, you're scared to death that the love gone. Keep hanging, hanging on, just keep hanging. Love is just a wild ride. When you're
Hang on to your lover, it's a wild ride. Love is just a wild ride. Hang on to your lover, hang on to your lover, it's a wild, wild.